And I pray that I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, what a week it's been. We have apparently a Liberal Democrat mayor now, I understand that's correct. And Liverpool are beaten 1-0 by a beach ball. Not sure what formation the beach ball was playing, perhaps 1-1-1-1-1, but it certainly baffled Rafael Benitez. 1-0 to the beach. It was a red beach ball, though, so it wasn't all bad. But I missed that because Jenny and I have just been away on a few days' break. And one of the hotels that we stayed in was described as art house and eclectic. Very pleasant. Louvre doors on the bath so you can see, you know, both ways. But the room didn't have any soap. You know, so you go to this, there's no soap. There was an aromatic cleansing bar, which I found works just as well as soap. But then you think, what kind of a world have we got ourselves into when even a bar of soap has ideas above its station? An aromatic cleansing bar. Very pleasant. But, getting ideas above the station is in some ways the theme of the gospel reading we had today, where James and John are asking Jesus a favour. And there are some parallels. It's a different story, but there are some parallels with the story that we had a few weeks ago, where the disciples are on the road to Jerusalem, and they're arguing, and Jesus says to them, "What were you talking about?" And they sort of shuffle their feet and look down and eventually say, "Well, we're trying to decide who's the best among the disciples." And it's almost as if that ploy hasn't worked. Just before this, the passage we had read for us today, Jesus is, they say to Jesus, "What we're going to Jerusalem for?" And he explains for a second time, "We're on our way to Jerusalem so that I, as the Messiah, can be betrayed, can be handed over to the Jewish authorities. The Jewish authorities will then sort of condemn me, but they can't kill me, so they'll hand me over to the Romans and to the Gentiles, who've got the power to kill me, and then I'll be killed, and on the third day I'll rise again." So he's just gone through all of that with the disciples. And then James and John shuffle up to him, and it's as if they're beginning to get some picture, a bit of an understanding, that the Messiah will be in glory. So they're making progress. And they want to share in that glory. And so they ask him, "Jesus, got something to ask you." And you can tell they're a bit dubious about what they're going to ask him. Because to begin with, they just say, "We want you to do for us whatever we ask. It's not, we've got a little favour, can you just?" It's, "We want you to do for us whatever we ask." And you can imagine Jesus sort of metaphorically going, "Go on then, what is it this time?" Because you can see the disciples are beginning to understand the message, but are not quite there. And Jesus just says to them, "Go on then, what do you want?" And they say, "We'd like to sit at your right hand and your left hand in glory." They have the picture of this sense of glory that the Messiah will have, and they want to be part of that too. And there's a sense in which that's commendable, to want to be part of Christ and the future that Christ offers. And as we know, Jesus then says to them, interestingly, if he doesn't get cross with them or angry, he just says, "That's not for me to grant." And then he goes on to explain about what the Messiah means and what the Messiahship means, and about how that involves service and how he and how those who want to follow him will be involved in service and being a slave of all. And again, that's a theme that's come up over the last few weeks, this sense of servanthood and slavery in order to be with Christ in ministering to his people. Because, yes, there is the glory in the future, but the kingdom of God is also about the here and now and the present. And Jesus says to the disciples, you know, it isn't about lording it over everybody as the Gentiles do. And he's just mentioned the Gentiles in the previous bit we didn't have written about those are the people who will lord it over him and have him killed. That's not the way it is in his kingdom. Now, what does that mean for us? Because quite often, you know, we have no sense of necessarily wanting to be high status. You know, there's a sense in which actually we're quite happy to be a humble bar of soap and not an aromatic cleansing bar. You know, perhaps, you know, there isn't that sense that we want those positions of high authority. But is that really true? Think, for example, how we feel when we just have a piece of information, perhaps about somebody or something that's happening, that somebody else doesn't have. And we can give others the benefit of our wisdom and our knowledge and our supposedly closer relationship, perhaps with somebody or a situation that's going on. You know, how does that make us feel? Think how we feel when somebody comes to us and asks for our opinion and our insight, the benefit of our experience. Again, it's very easy to feel rather smug and to feel rather superior as we give out the benefit of our experience. Think how we feel when we're praised. You know, we sort of swell up. And in some ways it's appropriate that we are, and I'm not saying that praise is wrong. But it's so easy to have that feeling of smugness and authority and a position of superiority amongst those who, you know, we're talking to at the time. Think how we so often want the world to operate to our time frames and to our agendas rather than us working to somebody else's. Think how often we want things and circumstances and people to fit in with us in a way that makes things convenient for ourselves and not for others. And in so many ways, perhaps not necessarily big ways, but in many, many ways, we as individuals and the church as a whole, which is hugely powerful without realizing it all the time, plays power games, and we play power games just in little ways, ways that sometimes perhaps not aware of, in order that we are in positions of superiority, positions of advantage over others. It's not just the big things that Jesus is talking about in terms of status and authority. The small things matter to him too. And we're all involved in playing those little games of power to give us a personal advantage day after day after day. And Jesus says, that's not the way it is in my kingdom. Today happens to be the day when the church celebrates St. Luke, St. Luke's Day. Luke is an amazing chap. He wrote, if you think about it, put Luke and Acts together, he wrote about 25% of the New Testament. Quite a lot. And the Gospel of Luke is often seen as a gospel for the poor. It talks about bringing the good news to the poor. It talks about bringing good news to the oppressed. It talks very much about the needy and the outcasts. It talks about the inclusion of the Gentiles. Interestingly, the genealogy in Luke starts with Adam, doesn't start with Abraham as Matthew does as a Jewish gospel, talks about the inclusiveness of everybody and how the gospel is for the poor and for the needy, and salvation comes to all of those people. But another way of looking at the gospel of Luke is it's actually a gospel about the poor and the needy and the outcasts, written for people who are rich. And it's a gospel to the people who are in positions of authority, positions of superiority, about their responsibilities to the poor, to the needy, to the oppressed. A gospel to the Jews about their needs and their obligations, if you like, to the Gentiles. A gospel about using all that we have to serve those who are less fortunate than ourselves. A gospel to those who are perhaps better off than the poor and the needy, to remind them and underline what their responsibilities are in the world. And that's the sense that we get in the gospel today. The sense that all that we have, all that we are, is bound up for us as Christians in the service of God, in the service of others, taking all that we have, our time and our talents and our possessions, using them in the service of God and in the service of others, using them in a way that isn't just for the service of the people that we look at as our peers and our betters, using them not in a way that helps us play our tiny power games and puts us in positions of authority and superiority over others, but using all that we have, all that we are, in the service of God and in the service of others. Service of others whom sometimes we look down on and see in worldly terms are less fortunate than ourselves. Using all that we have to serve that full community of Christ, so that Christ's glory, which the disciples so much saw and wanted to be part of, so that we can be part of that glory too, having lived as Christ's humble servants here on earth. Amen.